It was 1968, and NASA needed some good press. The year before had been a disaster. All three crew members of the Apollo 1 mission died in a cabin fire before the spaceship even launched. If NASA was going to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade, it needed to win back public confidence, and it would do so on live television.
Roger, good morning to everyone in television land. You're looking at the right-hand portion.
The goal of Apollo 7 was to put a manned spacecraft into orbit, and it worked. For the first time, Americans got to see what astronauts look like floating around in zero gravity, eating meals, checking in with ground control.
And Apollo 7, Houston, how close are you now?
That second voice is astronaut Walter Cunningham, and it's hard to hear, but he sounds a little congested.
Wally took one active bed only. He feels fine. He just got a little stuffy.
Cunningham and fellow crew member Wally Schirah had head colds.
My nostrils are a little dry.
The astronauts had trouble sleeping and worried about their eardrums rupturing. They were cranky. They argued with ground control. So after Apollo 7, NASA set a new policy. Astronauts would now be quarantined before each launch to make sure they're healthy. But it doesn't always work.
It was probably the most miserable cold I've ever had.
That's NASA astronaut Mike Barrett, who got a cold during his six-month stay on the International Space Station in 2009.
There's nothing quite like being congested in zero gravity.
Perhaps you've never considered the effect of zero gravity on snot. Barrett hadn't either.
So whereas you would have a little bit of gravity to help you drain things, all that was absent there. So everything kind of pools where it is.
So Barrett invented a zero-gravity nose-blowing technique.
Holding my arms on a handrail and then kicking off with my feet and swinging my feet in an arc.
This creates a sort of artificial gravity, says Barrett, propelling mucus out of his head.
You do what you gotta do.
The point here is that we humans evolved with gravity. Take it away and you start needing workarounds. For example, we know that in space, muscles atrophy, especially in the legs.
From the waist up, they still look pretty strong. From the waist down, they look more like Kermit the Frog.
So astronauts spend 2 to 3 hours a day exercising. Then there's the eyes. No one's quite sure why, but over the course of their missions, some astronauts report problems with both nearsightedness and distance vision.
So we have to bring multiple pairs of glasses.
That's astronaut Tom Marshburn.
It's the only solution we have right now.
This is minor stuff on the International Space Station, a mere 2-day trip from Earth. But consider this. By 2030, NASA wants to start sending people to Mars and back. That's a 5-year mission. So how do you anticipate the kinds of physical problems those astronauts might run into? That's where scientists like Sharmila Bhattacharya come in.
My lab is here at NASA Ames Research Center in Mountain View.
Bhattacharya is part of a major NASA effort to send bugs, like beetles, worms, and fruit flies,
or what's also called Drosophila melanogaster,
up to the International Space Station to see how space affects their biology. Next week, she plans to send a batch of her Drosophilas up on one of 3 trips scheduled this year. And so far, she's learned some interesting things about their white blood cells.
There are changes in the distribution of blood cells, and blood cells, of course, are critical to immune function.
But here's something else. While the fly's immune system gets weaker in space, certain microbes, the kind that would make a fruit fly sick, actually get stronger.
Couple increased virulence of a pathogen with a decremented immune system of the host, that could be, a problem for long-term spaceflight.
Bhattacharya will test that theory in fruit flies on a mission next fall. NASA astronauts I talked to believe that all these problems can be overcome with a little ingenuity. It's a sort of company-wide can-do attitude that is well expressed in the hold music you hear when you call an astronaut at Houston's Johnson Space Center. But even with everyone's best science and best efforts, there are some challenges that cannot be researched in advance.
Well, it's a huge boost to look out the window at our planet while we orbit the Earth on the space station.
Again, Tom Marshburn.
And to see it in all its glory and its beauty, you get to know the continents.
This view is a huge reason that astronauts go into space in the first place. And at some point on that first trip to Mars, it will disappear. That is, for the first time in our 2 million-plus years of existence, humans will lose that visual tether to the place we all come from.
There'll be a period of time when it's just the blackness of space and stars outside the window.
It will be thrilling, says Marshburn, and maybe deeply disconcerting. His advice to those lucky astronauts, stay busy. I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, the David B. Gold Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabsonell Foundation.